With us now is a gentleman named David W. Davis. He's been a member of the U.S. Coast Guard Reserves for the past 20 years, and he's author of a new book entitled The Murmurings. He wrote this book under his Shawnee American Indian name, David Walks as Bear. And you can read more about this very interesting book at www.thewildlandpress.com. What's interesting is that this book grew out of his own experiences when he was in the Coast Guard, in which there was a light event that started at around 9 o'clock in the evening in August of 1984, and it evolved through his curiosity into research that included the famous Holland, Michigan radar case and the 1950s Ken Ross Air Force Base, in which an F-89C and an unidentified light merged on radar and disappeared. And he's going to talk about those with us tonight, but he's going to start with this night back in August of 1984 and what happened to provoke his curiosity. And here now is David Davis.
Hello, David. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi there.
Good to have you with us.
Yes, sir.
How did your speech go tonight?
I stumbled around quite a bit and finally made some kind of an impression. Bad or ugly, we don't know.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, in reference to the situation, I guess, or at least what Linda was talking about in 1984, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay. At that point in time, I've been in the Coast Guard Reserve, I guess, for about 20 years now, and I was fresh into the reserve at that point, only a year or so. So we were just doing routine, I guess what you'd call Coast Guard missions, where basically we're just out doing law enforcement during the day. You're stopping boaters and you're checking maybe a write occasional ticket. Just patrol stuff, nothing serious, nothing extraneous, just regular mundane military junk, you know. So
that happens every day.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
And it sure did to us. And this was a slow day. I mean, we were moving toward the end of summer. We're in August, and it wasn't anything cooking. We were getting toward dark, and we'd noticed a light off the, you know, the port quarter. And it wasn't anything serious either. Light was a good 2, 3, 4 miles away from us at that time. No other boats, no other craft on the water. So we're dinking around. This is a 41-foot utility boat just used for search and rescue. And basically, we had a four-man crew, and, you know, we're not doing anything. We just followed the light. You know, that's really all there is to this.
Mm-hmm.
Never got any closer, never got any farther. We did this for about 4.5 hours, I guess, thereabouts. Never gained anything on this light. This light was orange in color, probably about the size of, by the time you're looking at this from a night vision aspect, I guess, about the size of maybe a quarter or a dollar at different times. You know, we just never got any closer to it. It didn't move fast, and it didn't move slow. It just stayed steady, and eventually we lost it.
If you had tried to report this as a four-hour sighting of a light you could never get close enough to, and it kept changing size, what do you think would have happened?
Well, they would have ordered us to increase speed and try to catch the thing, but basically, since it was a situation like it was, where we couldn't make head nor tails of it, it wasn't anything that was threatening, it wasn't anything that was dangerous, it wasn't anything that was obstruction of navigation, it wasn't red, it wasn't green, it wasn't white, it wasn't any of the colors would be on another vessel. What we ascertained, and you got to keep in mind, now we're all enlisted guys on this boat, okay, so the coxswain's a second-class petty officer, and he's looking at this saying, well, I'm not going to call it in. I'm not going to go through the rest of that. We're not doing anything else. We can check it. And it's not showing anything on radar. If we'd have called it in, we'd have been told to proceed toward it or whatever. We don't find anything, and it's not showing on radar. The group's not showing anything on it. They're not going to launch a helo to come out and check it. So it would have been just pretty much that was it.
Did you have any discussions about why would something that was this persistent, this definite, this large not show up on radar?
Yeah, we had a lot of discussions about that on board the boat, but once again, I mean, you're just talking about things that aren't going to do you any good one way or the other, because we know how it works, and I think that everybody in the military in one form or fashion knows how it works. No matter whether, if you're a private standing in a fence post with an M16 strapped on your shoulder, or if you're a sailor on the deck of a frigate, you know, it's going to be the same thing. I mean, the Air Force guy who's out there tuning up the jet engine, it's going to be the same thing, and it pretty much goes the same way. these aren't decisions that you make. These are decisions that are made for you one way or the other.
And how many people are seeing these kinds of objects that never get reported and never put in a log, and yet people who are responsible for patrolling our waters, patrolling our skies, are seeing things like this all the time?
No, geez. I don't know. Billions and billions.
You sound like Carl Sagan there, David.
You go right off to me, and he's not with us anymore.
No,
is he?
No, he's not.
Nervous. I'll check my heartbeat. But seriously, though, as far as this kind of a thing goes, I think that I've been a cop for a long time, and I can tell you that cops see stuff like this all the time. I see stuff like this all the time. And most of the time, there's just nothing you can do about it. It doesn't last very long. It's gone. And like with any other thing that's going to happen in your life as far as being a protectorate or somebody who's an authority over others, your whole mission in life is to make sure that you're not going to let anybody get hurt.